Yo, what's going on, everyone? I know it's been a while. You haven't done this show in a long time, but we're back for a special reason. One of our special podcasts that we're kind of dropping this year. We're doing league previews, but we're having a little twist that we're going to talk about everything that's going on within that certain league, some of the history, how does it feel to be a fan in that league, things of that nature. So, first episode today, joining me is a good friend of the podcast, Mr. Jake. How are you doing, sir?
Man, kicking off the return. What an honor. Appreciate it.
You are. Look, there's no one else I wanted to start this off with than with you, Jake, because you're awesome and you're dope.
Appreciate it, bro.
Nah, no problem, man. For listeners, for those who don't know, Jake runs his own show. You can find it still on Twitch, right?
Yep, still on Twitch.
Still on Twitch. 50 Plus Donner. Which covers the Bundesliga, also the two Bundesliga, which I am now all in on because the club that is in my heart, FC Kaiserslautern, which you know we're going to talk about, are now in the two Bundesliga. So I'm very excited about that. But, man, like, there's so much to talk about in the Bundesliga. And I feel like it's been one of those years where the Bundesliga, to me, has always been, like, a tier right below the Premier League. In terms of how many people follow it, the money that's coming in there. But it's still, like, one of the toughest leagues to play in, just stylistically. This year, you had Mane going there, Lewandowski leaving to go to Barcelona, things like that. And Bayern Munich is coming off of what they call a weak year. Like, what is the Bundesliga going to look like this year?
It's going to be a wild season, man. I mean – This was the first season, like you said, they had like a quote unquote weak year where they only won the league. But by Bayern standard, it was not a good year. So it was interesting to see them spend more money than they usually spend this year because I think they are a little nervous. Like you saw, Dortmund had a very good transfer window. Leipzig, mm-hmm. You can never count them out. Leverkusen's supposed to be very, very, very good this year. I know it gets like the reputation of being like a one team league, but I mean, I think Bayern's feeling the heat and like you said, for other teams that are not like, there's no like Premier League, like top six, there's just like Bayern, Dortmund. And then it's just an assortment of whatever is going on below that. And this year, I really don't even know who's going to be like Europa League, Champions League, relegation. Like it's going to be a weird year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I think catches my attention the most about the Bundesliga, because I think if I went back and looked at, like, the last 5 years, the top six outside of Bayern and Dortmund have not been the same.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's been, like, a continuous thing of, like, this team's doing it where, like, 2 years ago, Cologne was fighting relegation. Now Cologne is in the Europa Conference League. Like, that's how crazy this league is. So
Unbiased, by the way.
By the way, if you don't follow Jake on Twitter, I gotta recommend it because when Cologne is playing, like Jake, I think it's fair to say, like me and you are both kind of even kill when it comes to like other teams and other leagues. Like we get interested, but when it comes to our teams, like the teams that we love, fandom goes to out the door. Like he's like all blinders come up. Like what is this going on? So I guess we might as well start off with the champions, Bayern Munich. Like we started off with, they lost Lewandowski, they added Mane. There's a little bit of trouble brewing with Leroy Sané. They also lose Nicolas Sulla to Dortmund. If you're Bayern, what's kind of going on? Because normally it's like if you're losing these big name talents, you're not losing them to a team within the Bundesliga. You're losing them to Real Madrid or the Premier League. What's going on?
Well, I mean, they didn't really lose all that much to like competition. It was just Sulla. You're right. Like, it was really weird to see what was happening at Bayern because it wasn't just people leaving, right? It was like they lost so much young players who were bench players, but I feel like that's going to be so important this year. Seeing like the board fight with Lewandowski on his way out, like even Serge Gnabry, I know he stayed, but he still was like heavily trying to leave. It was just like it wasn't a typical Bayern offseason, and I really think, and there was actually a quote about, it was from Bild, which is a German like tabloid, so they could have been making it up, obviously, but it was still weird to see Oliver Kahn, who's on their board, talk about wanting to get Cristiano Ronaldo to quote unquote like sell jerseys. That has really never been Bayern's mentality. So there is something going on there. I don't know what it is, but I mean, this is the year to take advantage of it. There's like a little bit of whatever there is going on in Bayern, but, and it's not like they're going to be instantly bad, but it's just weird to see them have this off the field stuff that they don't normally have.
Yeah, like they're normally that's the team that you associate with being in the tabloids and being in the press. Like, I think I was listening to your show a couple of weeks ago about how when it comes to Bayern, like they get all of their stuff done between April and May and probably to June. And then after that, it's like July and on. Like, they're kind of pretty much chilling. It seems like now with this whole Lewandowski, and it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like he's upset and wanted to leave the club because the club had interest in Haaland, which is fair. But it's, if I'm not mistaken, Bayern kind of does this with their strikers of pretty much, who you feel like you got to a certain point, we're going to move you on and bring in the next hot thing. Am I wrong in saying that?
There's a good trend. Like, obviously, they kind of tend to have more experienced strikers. Like, they had, like, Robin and people like that in their wings. But they also have, like, young players. Like, I think a big thing for them was keeping Kingsley Coman, who was supposed to leave, but he didn't. But you're right. Like, they don't really – they don't have the saga normally that they had with Lewandowski, where they very publicly were like insinuating they were going to get rid of him. And then just like when Lewandowski was also being childish, like they were kind of matching it. But I mean, at the end of the day, even in a weird offseason, they still got Mane and they still got De Ligt and they still got Gravenbach and all these other players. So usual Bayern stuff.
I believe it. That's typically how Bayern goes and things like that. And to say all of that, there's still a team that can probably go on and win the Bundesliga. I don't think they're going to have any trouble with all of that. When it comes to talk about Bayern real quick, and we'll move on to the rest of the teams, because like we said, there's more teams than just Bayern in the Bundesliga. How do you think Julian Nagelsmann gets on in year two? How do you think this team is going to use Mane in that role?
It's a good question. And you still, like, honestly, like, the other part is just transfer window not over. They could still, they've been poking around at some young strikers like Kalajic with Stuttgart. Who's the other? There's like another. They still were like looking at replacing Benjamin Pavard with like Borna Sosa from Stuttgart too. They're still poking around a little bit, but I mean, you can never count Bayern out. And I think we're going to talk about it later, but the one thing that's going to work against teams like Bayern, teams like Dortmund, teams like Leverkusen is this first half of the year with the World Cup and with men's World Cup and everything. Like, if you have a lot of national team players, you're going to be, I think, struggling a little bit.
Yeah, it does seem like the national team and stuff like that is going to kind of hinder a lot of stuff. But let's go ahead and pivot. I think one of the underlying stories that not a lot of people caught on to, maybe to the tail end of last year, was Eintracht Frankfurt. Did I say that right? Oh, my.
Eintracht Frankfurt?
Ah, there we go. they went on and won the Europa League. Can we just really just talk about how they went on this journey? Because it seemed like at some point they were just like, you know what, forget the league. We're just going to focus on the Europa League and go about winning. How did they kind of get to that journey of winning that trophy?
I don't think anyone knows, really. I mean, they didn't have a bad squad. And I think, like you said, at some point they're like, we can use, if we win Europa League, we can use Champions League to, like, get more players, like, keep players who would probably leave if we weren't in that. I think you saw them kind of focus on Europa League and, like, I mean, for that club to say, for a club like that, that's very traditional, to look back and beat Barcelona on the way to winning a trophy is huge. And they had some setbacks this offseason too, like, I'm forgetting his name, but their old captain was kind of trapped in the neo-Nazi thing over the offseason, and their striker, Phil Kostic, is maybe going to leave, nobody really sure. But, I mean, they really, I think, this offseason capitalized, or this transfer window, capitalized on the fact that they're going to be playing Champions League with getting Götze, getting some of these other players that they got, keeping people like Trapp and all the other players that helped them get to that point last year. So I think they're going to be an interesting team to watch, to see them juggle Pokal, Champions League, the league, with – I would say a more solid roster, honestly.
Yeah, it does seem like that's the way, and I'm pretty sure you're familiar with it, but Manuel Veith, I was listening to his podcast about the Bundesliga, and he talked about how this is how some teams should probably approach if they want to win the Bundesliga. It shouldn't be, what do we need to do to beat Bayern? It should be, what do we need to do to make sure we're on the level of Bayern so that we can be consistent in winning? And it feels like if I'm Chuck Pfeiffer, and also Bayern Leverkusen, are kind of taking those steps to potentially challenge and be that next tier outside of just Dortmund that challenges.
Yeah, I mean, you can even see with Frankfurt, obviously, and this is off the field stuff, but they are really, like you said, trying to be on the level of Bayern, not just playing wise, but they have an office in New York. I think that they were like opening pitches. They have a partnership with Ford Madison. Like, they're trying to get this imprint in the U.S. with U.S. fans and trying to get into the network of U.S. soccer as it grows. And that's what big teams do, is they step outside their comfort zone and do this stuff. And like you mentioned with Bayer Leverkusen, like, I think they're always making the steps to compete with Bayern. They're just a cursed team, pretty much. The joke I always make on my show is, like, it's indisputable they're the Tottenham of the Bundesliga.
Man, it just seems like every time they get some momentum going, it's like they suffer one injury. Like last year, it was Florian Wirtz.
Yeah,
and he gets hurt, and it was like, all right, the season's down the drain.
And they still made Champions League. Everyone was thinking they're going to sputter out, but they always have some kind of young talent or some kind of person they got from South America or somewhere some other teams weren't looking. They always have that eye for, like, being full of depth. And even though it's absolutely hilarious they lost in the first round of the Pokal to a newly promoted third team, it kind of helps them out in the end, because now they can focus on the league and they can focus on Champions League, which I'm sure they'd rather be in.
We're going to talk about the Pokal, but I think the next thing we probably need to talk about that other listeners probably love is, of course, Borussia Dortmund.
Right.
Gio Reyna's there. If we talk about Dortmund, we also have to talk about Sebastian Haller. For those who don't know, pretty much got diagnosed with testicular cancer. I don't know why I can't say that.
It's pretty bad.
And it just seemed like the moves that Dortmund were making were, like, very smart, very intentional, smart moves. Does this – I don't want to call it an injury. Does what's happened to Haller kind of set Dortmund back a little bit?
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, Haller is an incredible striker. Fortunately, they – lose him for the first half of the month, which is unfortunate because, like I said earlier, like, if you have a lot of national teams, you're just going to be – if you're in three competitions like they are, you're just going to be needing that depth that they tried to get this year. And they're still looking. Like I said, it's not over. There's a few people that they were looking at to kind of, like, be that Band-Aid while Haller is out. I think it's still to be seen. Like, if they can get, like, some of these people they're looking at – Modest is one of them. Was another person. I thought they should go for Timo Werner because apparently he's trying to leave Chelsea. I think that would be incredible for them to have him kind of just sticking around. But they're still a work in progress, and I think they have the right attitude that they don't normally have of, like, they're not trying to really grow people this year. You saw them make signing for, like, we're trying to win some games. We're trying to have enough depth to make sure that we're competing for a league this year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, it does always feel like as if Dortmund has kind of been like, ever since that big Champions League run, when they got to the final and everything, it kind of seemed as if Dortmund was like, all right, we've reached the pinnacle, we've reached the top, now we got to start selling these top talents. And they invested smartly, but investing young. It kind of seems like now they're bringing in guys like Haller, like Sula, that are already established, has already had that big move, to now be like, hey, we want you to be the core focus of the team. They seem to be kind of trending more so away from the Jadon Sancho types.
Well, I think what you see with them is, one, like, you saw what they did last year. They were still second with Marco Rose, who never fit in that entire season. They had so many.
Can you just talk about that? Because it seemed like, if we go back to last year, it just seemed like Dortmund was like, he's the guy. He's the guy. And
he should have been.
Yeah, and not only did it take Gladbach, but it seemed like Dortmund was trying so hard to force it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was still a shock to let him go after 1 year, especially considering the injuries and considering where they finished in regards to all those injuries. I mean, you can make a starting 11 out of the people that they were injured there at some point last year. But I think, like, to your question is, like, they're a team. My tinfoil hat is they're a publicly traded company, technically. So they do have to think about shareholders sometimes. My tinfoil hat thing is they really were focusing on, like, developing young players and selling them for massive amounts. You saw this with Dembele. They could have done it with Haaland. You saw them do it with, like you said, Sancho. They're going to do it with Bellingham at some point. But this year, they weren't focused on selling. They were focusing on competing. And that's a big shift, I think, for them. That's extremely positive.
Yeah, it does seem that way, very much so. I guess just kind of transition on from Dortmund. This is the last question I have for you about them. Like, what are really the aims for Dortmund this year? Is it to win the Bundesliga, or is it to push in all competitions as much as you can to the very last minute?
I think they're a team that thinks they can win, like, something. Whether it's the league, whether it's Champions League, whether it's – I don't think they're really focused on Pokal so much. But I think they just look at last season. They had the final year of Haaland. They had all these other players. They got second, but they – didn't win anything. And I think they kind of see themselves this year as a team that should be leaving the season with something. So I think they're what's the Denzel Washington quote? I'm gonna leave with something.
Right. I'm leaving here with something. So yeah, it seems that way definitely for them. Man, real quick. So we'll take a moment, stop talking about the Bundesliga. We'll talk about some other teams coming up, man. But like, can you just, like, what are some things you got planned as you're going on with 50 plus Dana? Like, not only are you one of the leading voices that I know of in when it comes to talking to Bundesliga, but like, you've been a real advocate and component of the Bundesliga needs to expand in the American market. Are they taking those steps? Are they looking to expand, play more friendlies here? How is that working for them?
Yeah, it's a constant battle. I think the battle more so that I'm frustrated is how they're treating Frauen Bundesliga. I mean, you saw the Euro final.
Mm-hmm.
Those players pretty much are all in Frauen Bundesliga, and you can barely watch it, even in Germany. Some teams don't even have scoreboards. So that's a fight. Like, I think in perspective, the fight the Bundesliga needs to do is – a lot further along than, like, say, the Frauen League. But I am unbiased, of course, with Colm playing in the U.S. with Stuttgart. That's the kind of stuff that I think needs to happen. I think these teams need to look more approachable because the Bundesliga is very traditional. A lot of their fans are scared of, like, foreign investors and things like that, which, I mean, that's a whole different topic. But I think when it comes to growing fandom, a lot of teams that aren't Bayern or Dortmund kind of look at the U.S. and they're like, well, they're all going to be Dortmund and Bayern fans anyway. Why try? But you are seeing that kind of change because of stuff like what Frankfurt's doing and the steps they've made, and not Leipzig, but they're trying. But I think they just need to understand that even though there's like MLS and all these other things in the US where they see tradition kind of taking a back step, the person that's going to gravitate towards the Bundesliga in the US and internationally is not going to be that kind of person that likes that anyway. So they're not going to expect that out of the club they like. So,
yeah, definitely. When it comes to the front of Bundesliga, why are those struggles there? Like, why are those up there? Because when you think of the men's team, you hear about DeMond stuff, how everything is really run well, how they're very organized. Why are they struggling to kind of do that with the women's side of the game, where they have really quality teams in Wolfsburg and Bayern Munich? Why are they struggling there?
Misogyny. I mean,
well, there we go.
At the end of the day, Germany had banned the Association of Women's Soccer until 1970, so they're still reeling from that. And yeah, it's just like you see this with obviously with us, with like wanting black initiatives. You see teams being like, well, what's the return on investment? And like, I think you see like the Euro Cup attendance and all that, and we know that's not true. Yeah. But for them, they're really, really penny pinching to be like, we're not going to get the return on investment that we get out of the men's team. I mean, if you even look at Wolfsburg, right? I say this all the time, and I feel like I'm doing negative PR for Wolfsburg, but their women's team won the league the year the men's team was about to get relegated, and they said they weren't going to have a parade for the women's team because they had to focus on the men's team. And that attitude is not just Wolfsburg. Like, Dortmund didn't have a women's team until recently. Stuttgart still doesn't. You see Köln putting a big investment, but like, I don't think their team has a scoreboard. And you see them playing in these 4,000 seat stadiums, and the highlights like are on like a tripod that's not even greased up all the way, so you miss some of the goals sometimes. And they just need to take the leap and invest, because the money is there and the fans are there, but they just, misogyny just tells them that it's not worth it. So,
yeah, well, definitely that. And I think another team that not misogyny has encompassed, but more so pure hatred of, I don't want to support them at all, is RB Leipzig. And it's hard, man, for a person that didn't grow up in German culture like how you did, that really had to learn how RB Leipzig came to be. It's real, as a casual fan, it's very cool to sit back and be like, oh, they're a cool team. They develop some cool players. They got some American players. But when you learn the history and look at how RB Leipzig is, I can understand where your passion and hatred come from. The year they had last year, Jesse March was the coach. He stepped down for his own reasons, went on to Leeds. They bring in Dominic Tedesco, who used to be the coach of Schalke. He takes them, I want to say, maybe into like 20 minutes away from being in a final. What is RB Leipzig's status is right now? Because I feel like they're in a weird kind of like stage.
Well, they won the final against Freiburg, and that
I mean the Europa League final.
Oh, Europa League, yeah. I mean, they could have gotten a double. They were very, very close. This didn't come from me. If you're a German fan on my show, you're like, wait, what? I think you do, at a certain aspect, do have to give slight respect to how they run themselves on the sporting side. Mm-hmm. They make kind of sneaky transfers, and I think that's technically what teams should be doing. Like, the big, big, huge, huge, massive, gigantic signings, they kind of don't do all that much, which is actually what German fans kind of look for in like a traditional team. It's just like all the other loopholes and stuff they dump through. But you're right, they are kind of in an interesting spot, but not really at the same time, because they still have Nkunku, who's a pictured there, one of the best player in the league last year. I think it's literally inarguable that he was one of the best. He's the best player in the league last year. They got David Raum from Hoffenheim, who's a national team quality player. Really sneaky was Andre Silva, who was a high scoring striker at Frankfurt. He was keeping up with Lewandowski for a while 2 years ago, and he had a slow year last year. But I mean, that could not be the case this year. I think in the same way you can't count out Bayern, you can't really count out Leipzig, and you can't count out when there's a move that doesn't make a lot of sense, like them letting Tyler Adams go. You can't count out that, like, they see something that maybe the rest of the league's not seeing. So I think they're one of the teams that I think, like, people should really, really be watching and seeing what they do. Oh, you're muted too, by the way.
Sorry, listeners. Just pretend that's not there. Let me ask you this about RB Leipzig. Nkunku, he was a player that more or less played out of his mind last year. Do you think we see that same form from him this year, given how he played in Dominic Tedesco's system? Or do you think it'll be a switch to he might play a little bit different, given he wants to make that World Cup roster for France?
I mean, what is there to change, really, you know? And even before last year, he was still extremely, extremely, extremely good 2 years ago. He has been since he's been – I mean, he's obviously gotten better by year, but, I mean, he's always been very quality. And you're right. Like, I think under Jesse Marsh, he was doing very well, but obviously with Tedesco's system, he's fitting a lot better. I think it's just going to be the same as usual. I think it's actually more dangerous if he's not on the French roster, because as we were saying with national team players, like, if he's able to, like, not have to juggle national team duties and just focus on being on Leipzig all season, like, that sounds very scary. So I think it's just business as usual for him. I think what will be really interesting to watch is how David Raum and Andre Silva kind of pick things up. And I mean, if Gulacsi, their keeper, if he has another year, great year, as he usually does, he's pretty solid. So,
yeah. Also, how much longer is Leipzig goalkeeper going to be in goal? Because he seems like he's been there for forever.
Yeah, wait, how long has he been there? He's been there a while. I know.
I know him, Frostberg, and what's the other one? He's Danish.
Oh, Emil Forsberg and Josef.
I feel like
those been there. Yeah, he's been there since the beginning.
Right, and I feel like because I remember there was a time where, excuse me, I remember there was a time where Forsberg was being talked about getting to like this big Premier League move, and it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, other guys that came into Leipzig have gotten these moves. Do you think they'll just be lifers at RB Leipzig?
I mean, I think there's no reason for Paulsen to leave. He clearly loves being there. They clearly love having him. He's not a starter like he was before, but I mean, he comes in and he's an impact player. And this goes to like what I said before, is like their ability to keep these kind of players. They don't kind of rush to really sell people as much as I think they get a reputation for. Like, on a sporting side, I think they are really, really good. It's just what they kind of play – what they're playing well advances is not good for the league. But the way they treat players, the way they treat transfers, the way they're constantly growing the next person that's going to come up is – I think is really good.
Yeah. And one thing too, I'll give Leipzig credit for is they seem to do a really good job of like taking young coaches and developing them. Obviously, you know, Jesse Marsch didn't work out and Ralf Rangnick had a rough run at Man United, but like Ralf Hasenhüttl, I'm trying to think, Dominic Tedesco now.
It's pretty much it. It's like those five people. They haven't been around that long.
No, but I'm just saying, like, they've done a good job of like, if you're a young coach, that seems like the place to go and kind of get your feet wet and kind of learn.
Yeah, I think so. But I think as they get more of a foothold in the first league, because, I mean, they've only been there, like, not that long. I think the more they entrench themselves in the first league, I think the more that's going to go away.
Hmm. Okay. Well, two teams that are getting used to getting themselves in back to the Bundesliga. They've been there before, but they're getting used to it again. Schalke and Werder Bremen, they finally came back up after getting relegated a year before. Let's start off first with Bremen, because Schalke is going to – we're going to have to dissect Schalke. Werder Bremen, it just seemed as if kind of a wave of bad things all just came in once. Are they prepared to come back up to the Bundesliga? But also, what led to them getting relegated? Because I don't really think that was really talked about at all.
It's crazy. I think that's the one thing that I always try to press new fans is, like, Bremen had Ozil at some point. They had Kevin De Bruyne at some point. They were, I think, even in the Champions League at some point. Like, this is a club that really has a big history. And
I think who was it? He was at Man City. But they won the league. I think, if I remember right, I think they won. No, was that Wolfsburg? There's two green teams. Maybe that was Wolfsburg.
It was probably De Bruyne.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah, I mean, Bremen knows what they're doing. I think them getting relegated was more COVID hit a lot of teams hard financially. Mm-hmm. And they were just their old coach, Florian Kohfeldt, who I don't know where he is now. Because he also got fired from Wolfsburg. They just stuck onto him, and he just kind of took the team in a direction that wasn't working for what they were hoping to play like. So they nearly got relegated under Kohfeldt. They're like, he's going to do it. He's going to figure it out next year. They get actually relegated. You see them kind of like signing hope players like they did Aaron Johansson, like they did Josh Sargent, like they're doing with Mitchell Weiser, who they got from Leverkusen. I think they can stay up, but that first year of you playing teams that have been up there for a while is going to be really tough for them, and I think Schalke as well.
Yeah, it seems as if I haven't kept up well with Werder Bremen, but it just seems as if they're kind of like still trying to figure out what did he want to do. Did he want to go down the development route, or do they want to like, all right, let's get proven guys that can help us stay up in the short term? Kind of seems like
they still have a pretty, I would say they have a very balanced team still right now. It's just you always don't know what you're going to get when you get a team that's newly promoted. It's always, especially in a league that's already the first league, it's already really random. You don't really know what's going to happen, really.
Yeah, definitely that. So I think the second team that we got to talk about, because now we've cleared the air, Schalke, team with historically bottom out, flamed out, got themselves in with massive crippling debt, a team that more or less we were all like, this isn't going to end well, and it did not. And honestly, I thought personally, I think we were talking about all throughout the year, like, I don't see how Schalke is going to come up. Like, at some point, I just expected kind of just fail out. But it didn't. They stayed up. They got promoted back up. What led to them getting promoted last year? And how are they looking to shape up for this year?
I think they just got a new manager at a good point in the season. I wonder how their debt's doing. I haven't really heard a lot about that. They lost their biggest sponsor, Gazprom, which for like the Russia reasons, you even see on the kit there that their longtime kit sponsor was Gazprom, and if they're not there anymore. They're a weird team because they got a manager, Frank Wagner, who was the coach of Arminia Bielefeld, who got relegated last year. I think everyone was thinking, oh, Schalke's back. Like, Schalke knows how to succeed in the league. Like, who's this manager going to be? And for them to get Frank Wagner, it doesn't show the ambition I think a lot of people were thinking that they would see out of them. I would say they have a better chance. Never mind. I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be a big question mark. I was going to say they're going to. I think they're more solid than Bremen, but I think they're going to be a huge question mark, especially because Frank Wagner's coach. Because I mean, he's shown he's kind of struggled in the league. So for them to pick him up with a better roster, but it's just going to be a weird season for them. I think.
If you had to put money on it right now, who has the better shot of staying up, Bremen or Schalke?
I would say Bremen.
Okay. I don't disagree with you on that. It just feels as if when it comes to Schalke, it's like I really feel like the World Cup being in the middle of the year is going to hurt them more than what they think.
Like, they don't have that many national team players. I think what their issue is going to be is it's just a Frank Wagner. If they fire him in the middle of the season, which I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I think their whole season is going to depend on who that second coach is that they hire.
Right now, do you have any idea who would you like to see get that position?
I have no idea because, I mean, it's like every offseason lately is like a big coaching carousel. So I don't even know who would be available to like take the job. So,
yeah, that's true. Well, another team that seems to be a dumpster fire and that almost went to the second Bundesliga, Hertha Berlin. Now, this is a club that, correct me if I'm wrong, was it 2-3 years ago? They got a huge injection of cash. There was all this talk about how, you know, they're going to be the next club. They're going to be, you know, that fourth team to kind of join the quote-unquote big three in German football, if you think about it, in a certain way of like Leipzig, Dortmund, and Bayern. They're going to be the next team. And they have not even reached it. Even last year, they struggled to stay up in the Bundesliga, having to go to the relegation playoffs. What's going on with Hertha? Like, Jake, if I put you in charge, how do you fix Hertha?
I mean, it's funny because when I tried to play Football Manager on my show, I got Hertha, and there I didn't know what I was doing. And I don't think a lot of people run Hertha do. Hertha's an interesting team. Like you said, they got the injunction of cash, but, like, the guy is being investigated for fraud right now. Or may think is already in trouble, one of the two. Hertha's an interesting team because, like you said, they have big – aspirations. The whole meme is like big city club. I don't know, man. I think like they made really good moves, honestly, this transfer window. But they're one of those teams I put in line with like what Gladbach's gonna be this year, like Hoffenheim even. They're just gonna be these teams that like, or Augsburg even, it's just like this entire middle part of the table where they could just be anywhere. I honestly don't think they're going to get relegated, but I mean, I didn't think they were going to be that much trouble last year either. So
I don't know, man. They just seem like such a weird team. And you imagine being in a city where the younger club, not the younger club, but the smaller club, Union Berlin, has reached these heights. And I think ever since they've been promoted, they've reached the Europa Conference League and now they're in the Europa League. As a Hertha supporter, well, not you as a Hertha, but like, if you were able to talk to a Hertha supporter, what do you think they would tell you, like, that kind of envy of seeing this, their cross-run rival do better than them when they're the club with all the cash injection?
I think they would honestly be more mad about how their club is run than looking at what Union Berlin has done. Because what Union Berlin has done is, I would say, a little bit of a, like, miracle story. I think if you ask the Hertha fan, like, what's going on? Like, how do you feel about Union Berlin being better? They'd just be like, well, I'm just more mad that my team's not putting it together. They make all these weird moves, like getting Piatek and stuff like that, and it doesn't ever work out. I think they're more concerned about them. I think they're more concerned about themselves than they would be Union.
True, true. Well, I know we didn't talk about every team in the Bundesliga, but I guess let's kind of take about it from this concept. Union Berlin, Freiburg, Cologne. all the Europa League. Of course, you got Dortmund, you got Leipzig, Frankfurt, of course, Bayern Munich joining them as well in Europe. How do you think Union Freiburg and Cologne do in Europe this year?
Union is going to be interesting because Awoniyi is no longer there. They got Jordan Pifol, which is going to help a lot. And they got a few other people that really helped build up their team. I think, like, for a lot of people, they just wonder, like, how much longer can Union, like you said, be this consistent? I mean, you have to remember their first time being – this is their first time even being in the first league ever. So for them to be figuring it out like they are, every team has its day in the Bundesliga every year. And are they going to be – are they going to do it again this year? We don't know. In terms of Freiburg, I think they're the most prepared to kind of be I think last year wasn't a fluke. Obviously, Christian Streich had figured something out. They kept a lot of their key players, other than Schlotterbeck, that sucked. But they got so many names to remember. They got one of the key players from Gladbach on their team. That was an incredible transfer. And they got someone from São Paulo who's very good as well. I think they're the most prepared just by virtue of they were able to be competitive last year. Union, I think, is a big question mark and unbiased, but Cologne, I think, is a big question mark as well, because the last time they were in this situation, they got relegated. I think Baumgart's a way better coach than who they had last time when they were like in a European competition, and they don't have Pokal now, which is actually very good for them, honestly. But
it's hard for me to believe that, because when I saw y'all didn't advance, I just imagine you breaking a bunch of tables.
I mean, I didn't do anything because I love all teams equally. I was perfectly calm. But I think at the end of the day, like, it's a little bit of copium, but teams that are in the situation Cologne's in, where you're not really sure what's going to happen this year, you don't need three competitions to balance. And honestly, Cologne's always shit in the Pokal anyway, so nothing new.
Well, for the teams that we didn't talk about, Stuttgart, Wolfsburg, Mainz, Bochum, Gladbach, and Augsburg, what are you expecting from them this year? Do you think any of those teams that I just mentioned, do you think they have any chance of getting into Europe, or will they most likely be fighting for relegation?
Yeah, we can go real quick for each one. So Wolfsburg is, I think, set up to do some damage. I think last year was a little bit of them not knowing what to do, because, wow, they hired Florian Kohfeldt. Who could have seen them struggling like they did? Now they have Niko Kovac. They have Patrick Wimmer, who was like one of Bielefeld's best players. They have Jonas Wind too, who's really good. So I think they're gonna like quote unquote sneak, because they were so bad last year, but like they're not gonna be with that this year. Augsburg is always a team that you kind of have to figure is gonna be relegated. Their whole season is predicated on if Pepe is gonna be able to step up, because I'm going to give him a little bit of leeway. Like, he got thrown into the team, like, in the middle of the season during a relegation fight. And he's, like, what, 17? He didn't really have a whole lot to mesh with the team. But now that he's had the time, like, what's going to happen? Bochum, I think, is going to be in some trouble. They lost some key players, like Elvis Rexajai, who's actually on Augsburg, ironically enough. Who else is on there? Gladbach, I think, is going to be in trouble too, because they lost their sporting director last year and they kind of tanked their team a little bit with keeping – oh, what is it? Man, I'm so bad with names on this show. Wow. but keeping their coach, they kept their coach way too long. They have Daniel Farke, which is an interesting hire, but – and they kept Jan Zomer, which – if they didn't have him, I'd be like, well, they're going to be fighting relegation. They're kind of a big question mark team. Hoffenheim's a big question mark team because they have a new manager too. Stuttgart, I think, is going to be having some issues also. And Mainz just screams mid-table team to me sometimes. And that's not bad. Like, I think consistency is more important in the Bundesliga than placing sometimes. So,
yeah, very much so. So, I think also, Jay, this is the real reason why I brought you on the show. I'm just going to just throw this image up here, and we can slightly talk about it.
What could this possibly be?
I see Kaiserslautern, the Red Devils, got promoted from the 3-Liga to the 2-Liga.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the 2-Liga as a whole real quick, but how big is it for Kaiserslautern to get back up into the 2-Liga?
I mean, it's massive. I mean, I think of, like, if you had a time machine, right, if you went back to 2005 and you told someone Kaiserslautern was going to be in the third league, Werder Bremen was going to get relegated, and Schalke was going to get relegated, and Hamburg was going to get relegated. They'd just evaporate. I don't think they'd be able to process it. For, like, Kaiserslautern to fall as far as they did, really sad. I mean, they're a traditional club. They have a ton of history. And I think every fan except, like, the rivals, obviously, were very sad to see them kind of just fester in the third league. So for them to do what they did last year to get promoted, they're playing really well right now already in the second league. If it doesn't make you feel good, then you're probably one of their rivals or you're just weird. So
true. I mean, I'm happy about it because it's good to see them playing well. And, like, I told you how I got into them. It was through FIFA. Yeah. And, like, every time they play, I'm like, Jake, I see Kaiserslautern. You're like, all right. I'm glad you're excited. And I think another team we need to talk about, because the 2-Liga, to me, and I'm pretty sure you agree with the statement, is probably the toughest second division in all of soccer.
Yeah, I think it's pretty inarguable.
It's pretty hard. Like, and the reason why it's so tough is not just because of the quality of players, but just so you have so many big teams and only really two guaranteed spots. Because I think down there, what you have, Nuremberg, Klaasen, of course, Hamburg, FC St. Pauli, Hanover 96. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a lot of these big clubs that should be in the Bundesliga, but they're stuck in the 2-Liga. What makes the 2-Liga so difficult?
I think it's like you're right. I think there is, like, this little barrier of the second league and the first league, right? It's hard to stay up in the first league, and I think people who call it a one-team league kind of forget that it's just so easy to get relegated into the second league. And then you have to fight these teams like Sandhausen. You have to fight, like, Erzgebirge Aue. You have to fight, like, not Firth this year, but, like St. Pauli. These teams that have figured it out enough to not get relegated but haven't figured out enough to get promoted. And they just, like, embrace this chaos of you could just randomly lose 5-0 to Paderborn, or you can randomly get a goal scored on you, like, Ingolstadt got relegated. But, I mean, you just don't know, because every team's just so equal in the second league, because so much of them have just figured out the second league and they're trying to figure out what to do to be in the first league. And, I mean, it's going to be another mess season. I think, good news for you, I'm a little hopeful for Kaiserslautern. I think if they don't get promoted this year, I think they're going to figure it out enough to get promoted next year. So,
I'm not going to lie. My expectations are a little low. I'm going mid-table. Yeah. Upper table, mid-table-ish. But don't be surprised if that promotion run is there somewhere.
You never know. The second league, Paderborn did it. Paderborn went from third league, second league to first league, like, on three seasons. So you never know.
You don't ever know. And, of course, you never know when it comes to the Pokal. You have big teams. I mean, this is the reason why I love the Pokal, is because these German teams, regardless if it's all the way in the Regalia or the first division, they're going to play their first team and they're going to go all out. And you never hear this kind of conversation of, oh, it's just a cup competition. We're not going to really care about it. Who cares about the cups like you do in England and Spain? But these big teams are getting knocked out. Like, I think, what, Leverkusen already got knocked out?
Leverkusen, Hertha, and Köln.
Like, what is with that, man? Do you think it's just they haven't gotten accustomed yet to playing, or you think it's just it's just giant killer season?
It's just a Pokal, man. I mean, like, the stat is there's been a first league team relegated. It's the first team that's got a first round exit every year, at least one, really two. There's never been one in this span from 2009 to now. There's always been a first league team exit. And I think like part of it is like the second league, third league, sometimes fourth league, fifth league start a little bit earlier, like competitive games. And I think a part of it is just like, how do you plan for fifth league teams? Like, you don't really have all that much to say, you know, or you don't have all that much to really scout on. Like, what are you going to do? So I think the streak's going to go for a very long time. But yeah, I think it's a mix of it's a Pokal. It's a mix of like, nobody's ever heard of this team anyway. And it's also a mix of, I don't know if they do this in FA Cup or anything, but like the first round, the first league team never plays the home game. And I think that also kind of messes with teams too. So,
okay. Okay. Well, we'll kind of take it away from that. Jake, man, got a couple of rapid fire questions to ask you. So I'm going to put you under the gun, man. You ready?
All right. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. What team out of Union, Freiburg, and Cologne goes the furthest in Europe?
Cologne.
Why?
Because they're in the easier competition.
All right. what competition does the Bundesliga most likely win a trophy in? Europa Conference League, Europa League, or Champions League?
Europa League. No. Unbiased, but Europa Conference League.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unbiased. Okay. Europa League gonna be tough this year, and like Union and Freiburg, we'll see.
Out of the quote unquote big three of Leipzig, Dortmund, Bayern, what coach is more likely to be let go?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think Dortmund. I think they kind of took a chance on Terzic. I think, like I said earlier about them trying to win this season, I think if he's not working out, I think they're going to most likely. I think it's a tie between Dortmund and Bayern. I think if Bayern has a nightmare start too, I think Nagelsmann would be in some issues.
Okay. What team out of Augsburg, Bochum, Gladbach, make sure I don't forget anyone, Hertha Berlin, Hoffenheim, we've got to talk about them, Mainz, Schalke, Stuttgart, Werder Bremen, Union Berlin, gets into a European spot?
Oh, okay. Like I said, it's a big toss-up. Say, out of those, I would say Wolfsburg.
Okay. Also, real quick, we'll talk about it. What's going on with John over there, the center back, the American? Is he going to stay in Wolfsburg? Is he going to leave?
He's already gone. He can't. Okay. He's been teamless since middle of May. Wow. And I tweeted about it a few times. For him to still not have a team, like him and Florian Grillstich, who was a striker with Hoffenheim, for those two to not have a team right now, what has happened at that negotiation table? He's they're both asking for way too much or something.
Right. Oh, wow. Didn't know he was so teamless. All right. Big question that, you know, we're all asking. Which team most likely gets relegated this year?
I'm like, it's non-committal, but I have no idea. It could really be any of those teams you listed. Gladbach has a chance. Augsburg always has a chance. I think Hertha has what it takes to succeed, but just, I mean, being in the position that they were last year is just hard to break sometimes. Bremen and Schalke, just by virtue of they got promoted. I don't think Hoffenheim really had a chance, but like I said, like it never, you never know. So
yeah. Well, man, that's all I got for you. I appreciate you coming on, man. It's a pleasure always talking to you, dude.
Yeah, man. I love talking to you. I'm glad I'm on. And I mean, anytime I can just never shut up about the German league, I'll do it.
Look, man, I appreciate it because you make me a better fan for it. It make me appreciate the Bundesliga even so much more that the fact that I don't even care to wake up for the Premier League, but like I have to wake up and make sure I catch at least one Bundesliga game a week.
Hey, well, I mean, it's probably a lot easier because their earliest game is 9:30 your time. So
right, so it works. It works out perfect. Jake, what are some big things you got planned for yourself this year, and where can everyone reach out to you at, my man?
Yes, so I want to plan the Premier League Fan Fest is so cool. I think that's one of the most important things to do year in, year out. I want to plan my own. It's not obviously going to be in the scale of that, but you got to do something. Definitely going to this Cologne friendly. I think I'm going to try to do 50 plus donor stuff there, but I think I might just be in a different mood for that. I'm actually going to Germany this season to watch a game. And we'll see what happens with that. And I think like this year for me, and you, I think you know too, because you like you do a lot of stuff yourself for your show. It's just like kind of believing what I can do a little bit, even though I'm on my own. Just like aiming for a little bit more bigger guests. Like, not to say all the guests I had before are bad, but like people in the industry, a little more. Like, what's it like being a fan? I think I'm gonna try to do this year. And all of that's on my Twitter and my Twitch. So try to be every Thursday. Tomorrow's going to be a little hard because I'm flying back, but I'm still going to do it probably later than usual. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, man, as always, dude, we appreciate you so much for coming on the show. Listeners, expect more league previews. They are coming. But in the meantime, you can follow the show at Can I Kick It on Facebook, on Twitter. Not on Facebook. Don't do Facebook. You might follow some weird. Don't do that. Just on Twitter. Just stick to Twitter. And I promise you, we're bringing more episodes, more news is coming out shortly. But for Jake, I'm Yogi. We will holler at you guys later. Be safe and be